Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One on One.
Yeah, there have definitely been a lot of names that people would recognize. I could roll through a huge Rolodex here, but, you know, Mike Socia played for the Dodgers, managed the Angels to a World Series. Jamie Moyer had played for Lou Socia down there in Tinicum. There's a story, the Chester franchise made a serious attempt to try to bring Babe Ruth to the league.
And our guest this week is Nick Ducombe. He is the president of the Delco Baseball League, which it's just an outstanding league. It is amazing. It's more than 100 years old. And Nick, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
So for people that aren't familiar, kind of give me the elevator pitch what the Delco Baseball League is all about.
The Delco League is a semi-professional baseball league throughout the communities in Delaware County. It's been around since 1908, which we take tremendous pride in. It's actually the oldest incorporated baseball league in America, even to this day. We're very proud of that. There's a very, very rich history. Obviously, we'd be here for days if we discussed all the players that have come through in 115 seasons. The league has survived lots of adversity. You know, it's made it through, you know, World War One, World War Two, you know, the Korean War, Vietnam. There's always been a season. We were a little concerned, or I was, you know, in 2020 with the pandemic that, you know, we certainly didn't want that to be the first time we didn't have a season. But we managed to make it through that as well and had, a robust, tremendous season that, you know, we were able to crown a champion in late August that year after starting on July 1st. So,
right now, how many teams, ballpark, and I'm sure every roster is different, how many players on each team?
So right now, we just finished up about a week ago. We crowned Wayne for their record 18th championship. They've really been dominating, you know, the last few decades. But there are seven teams. This year, we're adding an eighth team in Drexel Hill. We're going to put a new team in Narberth. We have a Narberth franchise right now. And then, that Narberth current franchise is going to move down to Drexel Hill. So we'll have eight teams. There's roughly, during the regular season, it's a pretty open roster. They can have up to, you just like the pros, you know, you can dress, you know, 25. You can have up to 33 on the active roster. I would say most of the teams have about, 20 to 25 guys on the roster.
How do the teams come together? Like, is it just as simple as someone shows interest, comes to you or comes to the league and says, you know, I got a group of guys, we're interested in forming a team. Are there certain benchmarks you have to meet? You know, how does it kind of work?
So in recent years, and one thing I'm big on, you know, it doesn't help us at all if somebody wants to create a team and they want to use a bunch of players that are already in the league. So, for example, this new team coming in. So if somebody were interested in coming into the league, they would have to show that, you know, they have the proper facilities, a field, that type of situation, the proper finances, and, you know, a roster that did not have current Delco League players on it. That's generally how you get in. And, you know, we've managed to stay in an era where, you know, so many of the leagues have pushed for, you know, a centralized ballpark. One thing that one great tradition, I believe, and one thing, you know, I've worked hard at keeping going is, you know, we're in the communities. We've had, you name the community out in Delaware County. I mean, the first team, you know, in 1908 was in the Rutledge area, right by Swarthmore there. We've had teams, you know, the current teams reside, as I mentioned, in Wayne. We have an Upper Darby team, Narberth, Marple Newtown. We've had teams, you know, we have a Chester team. We've had Upland, Tinicum, you know, again, too many to count over the years. But we've managed to stay in the communities. And some of those communities, you know, really, really come out to represent the team. You know, they follow the Delco League intensely, either online or in the paper. They're out at the games, and they really follow their team. You know, we just had Game 5 of the championship, and there were between 650 and 700 people out there, which, you know, for me, I'm very proud of that.
No, and that's for semi-pro local baseball. I think that's phenomenal. What's kind of your origin story with the league? Not just becoming president, but kind of take me back. How do you get introduced to the Delco League?
I got introduced to the Delco League as a late teenager through my uncle, William. He actually worked with Bob Brown. Bob Brown is definitely a longstanding, iconic, you know, player in the Delco League. He's played for a bunch of teams. He's ran teams, just has a very long history and played for decades. So, you know, my uncle had given him my number pre-cell phone era, unfortunately for me. But, you know, he gave me a call and invited me to go out and play. And at that time, that was the Marple Newtown franchise. And, you know, I went out. And, again, I was a young kid at the time. But
about what year is this?
This would be 1989.
Okay.
So I went out. It was one of those stories where I don't want to, you know, use an example, but there was a guy playing second base in front of me, and he had gotten injured. And he was going to be out for a good month or so. And back then in the Delco League, you know, we played, there were years right in that time period where they played 40 games a season before the playoffs. It was a long 3-month season. Back then we would start, you know, right away, early May, and play to the end of July before we even started the playoffs. So I got the opportunity to get in there right away. And what can I say? You know, the rest is history. Throughout the years, I played for, you know, most prominently, that was with that Marple Newtown franchise, even though Bob and some other players had moved on at some point. I stayed with that Marple Newtown franchise for a number of years, played a few with Springfield, played a couple with a Brookline franchise. And then, you know, I had the bug to start my own team. And actually with Bob's help, we started another league in the Delaware County area. At that time in the mid-90s, there were enough good ball players around that we were able to do it. And another thing I'm very proud of, eventually, including my own team, you know, that league became a bit of a feeder system for the Delco League as we put, you know, four or five franchises into the league, a couple of which are still with the league today. My franchise in Marple Newtown, Aston. That's kind of how it went. And eventually, after owning the team and running the team and playing, you know, several of the other owners had wanted me to get a bit involved in the leadership. And initially I was the vice president for a couple of years. And then, you know, ultimately 8 years ago became the president and still going along and trying to keep the league as viable as possible in, you know, today's environment, you know, with baseball.
It was 2015 you took over, or is it 24?
Yeah, 2015.
And it's important to know, because, you know, if people are casually listening, you hear franchises and leadership, and it gives this impression that it's all these full-timers, and there's an all, this is all folks doing this on the side for the most part, correct? I mean, from players, you know, most people are working their jobs and then hustling over to play on a Tuesday night. Am I correct?
100%. I mean, like a lot of baseball leagues, including the MLB, the league has gotten a bit younger in recent years. So we do have some younger guys, more than we've ever had. But in general, yes, you're 100% correct. Everybody, you know, has a day job and they'll come out after, you know, a long day of work. And the competitive nature of the Delco League requires a lot of work, especially behind the scenes in, you know, building your team, building your roster, you know, getting the team prepared to play every night, you know, and getting quality pitchers out there and, you know, putting a competitive product out, you know, as many nights as possible. So yes, it's definitely a big challenge that way. And it always has been.
So we're going back to 1908. This league starts, and I'm sure over 100+ years, there have been names that have come through the league that people would recognize, because even past the Delaware Valley, this is a rich area for baseball. So, you know, just kind of give me a quick a skimming of some of the familiar names that have come through the Delco League in one role or another.
Yeah, there have definitely been a lot of names that people would recognize. I don't, you know, I could roll through a huge Rolodex here, but just some prominent names would be, you know, Mike Socha, you know, played for the Dodgers, managed the Angels to a World Series. Jamie Moyer had played for Lou Socha down there in Tinicum. Keith Hughes.
Former Philly. Who I thought was going to be a superstar, by the way, back in late 87. He came up and, you know, had a couple of great weeks, I remember. Left-handed hitter, right?
Yes, yeah. Left-handed hitter. Yeah. And just, for my money, having played against him in the Delco League, even after his professional career and even when he got older, I mean, he was just a menace up there at the plate. I mean, you know, he would terrorize you.
Just one of those guys that looked like a hitter. Like, there are just certain guys.
No, he's an absolute hitter.
Yeah.
Absolute. Professional hitter through and through, you know, and very enjoyable to play with him. Another former Philly, and his son is currently in the league, would be Dickie Knowles. Dickie Knowles pitched in the league.
You know, he's been on this podcast as well, by the way.
Has he?
He has.
So, well, you can ask him about his Delco League days. You know, I'm sure he prefers his MLB days to those. But anyway, it was still great to have him. These guys that, you know, came along after their professional career was over. And as I said, you know, Dickie Knowles' son currently plays for the Chester franchise. So, you know, Ben Davis played more recently. A guy that had played for the Marple Newtown franchise, Amir Garrett. Some people may be familiar with him. He's a professional pitcher right now. Played 7 years with the Reds at the MLB level. He's currently with Kansas City. We could go back a bit. You have Jimmy Dykes played. And then there's a great story from 1915. Home Run Baker and Connie Mack. Home Run Baker had been with the A's, and they had what I guess now history would say is a temporary falling out. And back at that time in the Delco League, the owner or the person running that franchise could go out to Home Run Baker and say, hey, you know, we'll pay you at least what they're paying you, or could offer him more, could offer him whatever he wanted, whatever he had. So they were able to strike a deal, or Home Run Baker and Upland struck up a deal in 1915. And no coincidence, he dominated and they won the championship that year. So there's a story from 1917 where, you know, the Chester franchise made a serious attempt to try to bring Babe Ruth to the league.
Really?
Yes. Now, that never came to fruition, but they went as far as, you know, the leadership of that franchise, you know, went to Boston, met with Babe Ruth at his apartment, same as Herman Baker, were prepared to offer him at least and or more at that time. As to what he was making, and obviously that did not work out. But just one of the thousands of stories. You had asked me before we came on what makes the league so special. To me, the number one thing that makes it special is, I mean, look how old this league is. We just finished our 115th season, and that's an awfully long time. And you think about all the people that would have come and gone through, you know, the leadership of the league, the teams, the franchises, the players, the support system. I'm just, you know, a steward trying to keep it going, try to, you know, as I said, keep it very viable and have it evolve and improve it every day. But I just have tremendous respect for all the folks that have come before me that's, you know, why we're here today. You know, at 115 years.
You mentioned all these names that have come through, and, you know, we're talking over so many different years, but What is it like for the league when you have a former major leaguer playing in games? Is it something that's focused on, or is part of the fun that, you know, yeah, this guy used to pitch for the Phillies, but now he's just number 36 and he'll be starting on Thursday. Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just, I would imagine part of the fabric of it is that, you know, the league keeps going and yeah, we've got some guys, but you know, it's always here.
Yeah, no. It's a little bit of both. If you went back a number of years, you know, there would have been more attention, kind of like the, you know, when you initially started stating that, hey, you know, Tiki Knowles is pitching Thursday for, you know, Marple Newtown against Brian Stumpf from Springfield, another guy who played, you know, minor league baseball in the Phillies system. It was a huge deal. With today's player, it's a little bit more like, okay, great. I mean, they get excited. They get very excited about, you know, playing against, whether he's a position player or a pitcher, you know, major league talent, or at least, you know, professional talent. There have been a ton of players who never played affiliated baseball, but played independent baseball and took a pit stop in the Delco League, whether it be for a season or a couple seasons. You know, we have a great pitcher in the league right now, Chris Murphy. He was drafted in 2015. By the Astros, obviously played several seasons of minor league baseball, a few indie, and now the last couple of years he's been pitching for the Aston franchise. Then it's a great challenge, you know, when you go out to, you know, face a guy that can really, in a league like the Delco League, you know, very capable of dominating the league.
You mentioned earlier about the league being a little younger, but overall, is it, do you have like an average age at this point? You know, like, is it mostly maybe kids out of high school, college, or is it mid 30s? You know, or is that part of the fun? Is you've got some, you could have a 19-year-old playing second base and you could have a 43-year-old in right field and it's kind of all across the roster.
Yeah. No, to me, again, one of the great things about the league is you could have, at this point, with the proper insurance waiver, you could have a 17-year-old playing second base and a 40-year-old or a 40-plus-year-old playing first or pitching, whatever the case is. I mean, and from that point, we're still an old-fashioned semi-pro league. You have a lot of what I call, you know, you have the college destination leagues. Obviously, the most famous that people would know would be the Cape Cod right. League, where, you know, even they've had to expand a little bit, you know, at one time you could only play in the Cape if, you know, the following season was going to be your draft year, but they've gotten a little younger too. If I had to guess, I would say the average age across our league right now is probably early 20s.
Okay.
Because there are definitely some, you know, there's plenty of high school players, postgraduate that are 18, maybe 19. There's plenty of college players throughout the league. And then you definitely have, you know, there's definitely an element still of the guys I have, you know, several that play for me that at this point are in their late 20s, early 30s, and they can still come out and play and, you know, try to mix it up with the 18-year-olds. You know, it's really across the board that way, which it's, you know, it's great competition.
Do you get a lot of scouts coming out?
We absolutely get the scouts coming out, especially, you know, when you have a player that's worth taking a look at. I've always said, you know, and I've dealt with a lot of players and a lot of scouts. At this point, with the way the major league scouting system is, it's hard to find a diamond in a rough. If you have a guy out there on your roster that throws 95, I guarantee you all the local scouts that work the area, they know that and they will be out. So, yes, I mean, there's definitely scouts that come around and, you know, want to check out the young players. And now that's, you know, part of the competition. You take a league like the Cape League where, you know, it's restricted to, you know, the best Division One or, you know, college players that they can get their hands on that are, you know, going to be draft eligible soon in the next year or two. That concept makes it a lot easier for the scouts. But, you know, we try to do everything we can to keep the players home or have them come, you know, without, we've never gone to that level where, you know, we've wanted to become a destination league or, you know, college only, you know, and that would take away.
And from what It is.
Yeah, that would take away from everything that the Delco League has worked all these years to build. You never know what the future holds with sports or whatever the case is. But, I would say the franchises and the teams are out there absolutely trying to get their hands on the best players that they can, you know, mostly local from a lot of colleges.
So kind of give me, you're talking roughly in a non-pandemic season, you're talking about 3 months. How many games do you guys in a perfect world are on a schedule? Is it 35-ish?
Not anymore.
Okay.
In recent years, we've been playing 24 games.
Okay.
We're not starting until the day after Memorial Day in recent years.
Okay.
As the league has gotten younger, it just makes it easier. Some of those players, whether they're finishing up high school or college, those seasons aren't going to be over, depending on if it's D1, 2, or 3. Obviously, D1 goes to Memorial Day weekend, and then that includes, most of the conference tournaments end on Memorial Day weekend. So unless you're going on, for a regional or something, most of the players start to become available at that point. So I started a few years ago. We start that Tuesday after Memorial Day. Longstanding tradition we've had, whether we started on a Saturday or Tuesday, is the two teams that, played in the championship the year before. That's the only game that night. And then everybody else picks it up the next night. So this coming season with the eight teams, we'll look to play 28 games. And then, several rounds of the playoffs, and the last two rounds of the playoffs are best of five series. So, you're still looking at, close to 40 games to win the championship, and in a shorter period of time. You figure that, you're starting those last few days of May, and, we start the playoffs generally every year on or about July 24th, 25th, and we like to be wrapped up by the end of that second week in August, the 12th, the 14th, mm-hmm. right in there, because, the kids are going back, especially the college guys, they're leaving
right.
to go back to school, and if you do have a high school player that perhaps he's involved in a fall sport or football, a lot of their camps are kicking off right around that time of year, especially out in Delaware County. So, we try to work with that.
Again, I guess that time frame, it to your point, it keeps it from, this team just lost six guys and they've got to bring. But there's a continuity in that time period where the teams are the teams. I mean, there's always going to be, some movement, stuff like that. But it sounds like it's very well designed to kind of be encapsulated where a guy's going to be able to be there on opening day and be there for the championship game and not have to go away. To that point, what prevents, are there rules in place that somebody from Marple Newtown's cousin plays, in the Phillies organization and maybe got cut and prevents him from coming in for a championship series? Are there certain ways that you guys to make sure that the rosters are in good faith and not, you don't have ways to bring in ringers?
Correct. Yes, we absolutely have those rules in place. First thing is to be eligible for the playoffs. There's a minimum appearance.
Okay.
So you have to appear in, generally it's 25% of the regular season games for that team. As far as, a player, if he got released or cut and his contract, was terminated, he absolutely is eligible to come and play in the league, and he can be picked up at any time. And even if there's not enough games, it's a pretty open roster during the regular season. So you can utilize a player even if you can't get him playoff eligible. If they're under any type of professional contract, they can't play. We don't use players that are under there shouldn't ever be really any situation. If they're still currently under a professional right. contract, the pandemic year possibly could have, caused a couple wrinkles with that. But in the end,
you're talking extraordinary circumstances.
Yeah, you'd have to be talking an extraordinary circumstance where a player, as you said, a ringer, like he had an off day or something.
Right.
And he wanted to come help out his buddy who's running a team. And meanwhile, he's under a contract with the Phillies or the mm-hmm. Orioles or something. Yeah, that type of stuff's not allowed. But yes, very often over the years, for probably, since the inception of the league or early on, a player that gets, cut or released, if he comes back to this area and he's looking to, you know, still keep his baseball skills sharp, you know, he's definitely going to look to the Delco League for that.
We need to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with the president of the Delco Baseball League, Nick Ducombe, right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Our guest this week on One-on-One is Delco Baseball League President Nick Ducombe.
So you're talking, I guess, 2 to 3 games a week for most teams. Maybe a practice if you can fit it in, you know, between guys that have to work and stuff like that. What's kind of the average week during season?
Definitely 3 games a week. We mix in a couple doubleheaders to help with the schedule. You could have, you know, if you get some bad weather, a team could get backed up, maybe have a couple of 5-game weeks, or we finished off with a doubleheader and then 5 in a row. So we had a 7-game week to finish ours. Weather was part of the factor that you know, caused that. But I would say on average, it's 3 games a week for sure. And a few weeks are definitely 4 games. But again, that was always one of the great things about the Delco League. And even still now, starting around Memorial Day, if you're going to play baseball at a very high competitive level, you don't want to be playing once a week because it's very hard to hit in general, let alone a 90-mile-an-hour fastball if you haven't been out in a week and haven't had any batting practice or whatever the case is. There's not much practice going on during the season with the teams. I would say, you know, almost 100% of the teams take batting practice before the game. But as far as practicing away from, like on an off day, you know, I don't see a lot of that going on. I mean, maybe in the playoffs, that definitely could occur. They'll take a batting practice workout, definitely. But in the regular season, because as you mentioned, everybody does have a day job and things like that, playing the 3-4 games a week on average is usually enough. And if you're getting out, as I'm sure you can figure out, your baseball skills, you're going to get, I like to say baseball shape. If you're in good baseball shape, you're able to hit, right? Your arm's in good shape. You're ready to go. And, you know, after, a week or two, even if they're not coming from a school season, I think most of the guys are ready to go.
Where does the money for uniforms, you know, I don't know if there's money to play on the fields. It's probably, I imagine situations are different everywhere. Where for bats, is it BYOB? You bring your own bat. I mean, obviously your own glove, stuff like that, but balls and stuff. Where's kind of the money to kind of run the basics of the league come from?
The teams are definitely privately owned and, you know, in one fashion or another, they're responsible for the funding, privately funded. Now, just like MLB, you have some small market teams and you have some really large market teams. So, you know, in the Delco League, some of the teams are in better shape than the others. But I would say, you know, speaking from my own experience, if you don't just fully fund the team, you have some fundraisers and, you know, the money comes from that. But yes, you're 100% responsible each franchise for paying for the baseballs, the field, the umpires, the uniforms. So as you can assess, it's not cheap. You know, for us, it's a little bit of a mix. Some of the you get some player donations, you have a couple fundraisers, and then, you know, generally whoever, you know, owns the team, that individual is definitely putting in, you know, a few extra $1,000 to keep the team going that season.
What is your favorite part of being not so much the president, but being a part of this league? Like, what? Why do you keep coming back? What is kind of the spark of your passion for this league?
Well, I love baseball and I love the league. And that word you just used, spark, I've never lost my spark for either one. So I still enjoy baseball. I know, especially at the professional level, it's changed a lot in recent years and evolved, but I still love baseball. I love the league. I love my team. I love getting out there competing. I love managing. I love, you know, when we get into the playoffs and I get out to so many of the games, often more than one game in the same day, you know, and I walk around and, you know, saying hello to the fans and the people that come out, you know, to watch the games. You know, I've been, I started a fan appreciation day that's morphed into 2 or 3 days in the championship round, you know, where we'll, and we do it sometimes during the season too, you know, during an all-star game or just a rogue, you know, Wednesday night game. We had a game of the week for quite a while where we get some coverage from the paper and stuff like that. I just enjoy all aspects of it. And I enjoy the Delco League game. It's still more of an older school game in the sense that you don't have a lineup of 9 players where they're all coming up and hitting a home run one after the other. You know, I joke around, but Major League Baseball at times seems like a wiffle ball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's hitting a home run or striking out and there's no strategy. It's pretty
uneventful. Not a lot of action anymore.
Not a lot of action. You know, you never thought when I was a kid, I would have never thought I'd be saying watching, you know, 4 or 5 home runs is not a lot of action. But unfortunately, with them making the ballpark smaller and everything they've done to increase the scoring, whereas in the Delco League, you know, there is still an element of strategy and small ball, you know, stolen bases, bunting, moving a runner. You'll still see a hit and run, things like that. You know, stuff that you just don't see in a professional game anymore. And, you know, like I said, I really enjoy all that. And, you know, you hear athletes and people that were around sports all the time. And, you know, it really is true. Like, I enjoy both with my own team, first and foremost. But as I said, my team got knocked out of the playoffs. And, you know, I still continue to run the playoffs and stuff. And there's a sense of camaraderie out there with the players. And, you know, we'll sit around after the game, you know, talk about things, stuff like that. I love every aspect of that. And
Marple Newtown, is that the team you manage?
That's the team that I manage. But I, like I said, I enjoy all aspects. And one thing, since I've become president, I'm always trying to take the league next level or make the next step. Case in point, how, you know, we came to pass, you know, Joe Greenidge, I've had him broadcasting games for the last 6 or 7 years. We experimented a little bit with adding the video to that. I looked to add the video to the broadcasts, you know, and just keep things going in the right direction. Last year, I had an old timers game. I might have bit off more than I can chew because I had an old timers game and our regular all-star game on the same day, one after the other. It was probably 99 degrees, but a lot of fun. You know, I looked to try to make some type of old timers alumni game, you know, a staple on the Delco League calendar. And we've got some plans in the works to move forward with that. But all the folks that came out to that, you know, had a great time. And if I heard it from one player, I must have heard it from 20. They saw old friends and people they played ball with that they haven't seen in some cases 30, 40 years. The first year we did it, I wanted to, you know, I had Bob Brown and Jim Vankowski and a couple guys that, you know, were old timers in the Delco League, you know, help get me in touch with some of the guys that played a long time ago. But like I said, ultimately, it's something we'd like to do every season. And eventually, some of those players would get younger and we'll go from there.
And how neat is it just, you know, you mentioned you got a lot of kids maybe out of high school getting ready for college or playing in the summer or in college, stuff like that. You've got like these young kids. And they're hanging out with guys that in some cases, maybe their dad's age, stuff like that, you know, playing second and short. And it's a 20-year difference. And, you know, it must be just kind of a cool experience for everyone to kind of be hanging out with people that probably you wouldn't be hanging out with in any other situation other than if you're playing in the Delco League.
No. Well, because that love of baseball brings us all together. And the Delco League definitely provides the vehicle for that. Now, from my own experience, I really enjoy it. I enjoy the young players. And, you know, obviously with the team, you know, you don't want to, if you can avoid it, you don't want to be 100%, you know, youthful out there. You need some age and experience, a couple guys to show some leadership and stuff out there. But I enjoy it. The younger players, to me, I think it helps keep me young, personally. So, you know, I love being around the players. I've never found any type of age gap issue where, you know, where I can't communicate, whether it's on my team or somebody else involved in the league. You know, like the stuff we're trying to do to help with the evolution of the league with social media and stuff like that. I mean, I try to stay, you know, with all that stuff. So, like I said, I really enjoy it, whether it's a 16, 18, 22-year-old. I mean, you know, you hear and you see people that, you know, will get aggravated at times with, you know, maybe a stupid mental mistake in baseball, you know, made by a younger player or a rookie or somebody inexperienced. But after you've been at it as long as I have, you realize, you know, I mean, I can't remember what kind of, if I was that type of player then. I mean, but I just work as hard as I can to teach them and instill the, you know, some of the fundamentals out there that I don't think have ever changed, you know what I mean, in baseball. I know with analytics and stuff like that, especially at the professional level, as we discussed, a lot of that's changed. But like I said, we're still out there bunting and, yeah, you'll occasionally, you know, you get a guy out there who's like, you know, they don't want to bunt. But, yeah, I have players that play for me now that perhaps 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe the first time, you know, I asked them to do something like that, they were a little grouchy about it. And then within a couple of years, they're grouching at other young guys that don't want to, you know, or don't see the value in it, things like that. Mm-hmm. So when you can create a culture like that, it's very enjoyable. You have to, it's like anything else in life, right? I mean, communication is usually the key. It's not a lot different in sports.
And it must be a lot of fun during the summer to have like this league as kind of something that kind of brings the community together. And I don't just mean like at the games, but you run into guys running into Wawa and you can bust stones about the fly ball that dropped or pat on the back. Hey, great job on that 0-2 pitch in the eighth last night. Huge hit. It just, that just must be a really nice dynamic that you can't like put a price or put your finger on, but it just kind of permeates the community because this is something that kind of brings people together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say it's a fraternity, right? You spend any amount of time in the Delco League, you really feel it, you experience it, you become part of that fraternity. And it happens, as you said, on all levels. You know, I may run into a couple guys at, you know, a restaurant or, like you said, the Acme or Wawa. The younger guys, I hear the stories all the time from my players. They may run into each other, you know, at a bar or nightclub if they're out a little late or something like that. Or I run into people all the time at my gym. You know what I mean? All the time. So, yeah, that aspect. I've met more people than I could possibly remember. And, you know, I've made a lot of great friends. I've got a lot of, you know, relationships that have come out of my time in the Delco League, whether it's with, you know, as I said, people that I've met, players that have played for me, folks on other teams, you know, other owners, other management, just across the board. You know, in 30 years, you know, it's really worked out for me that way.
And I know the players aren't paid now, and you referenced, we were talking some of the old time stories that, you know, money was changing hands. Was there kind of a line in the sand when the decision was made, like, okay, we're not going to pay guys anymore. That's not what the league is going to be about. And when was that?
Yeah. So we like to separate the, you know, the league into, you know, the really three genres. You have the real old time, early years, and that type of stuff was going on, as we discussed. Then you have the post-World War II era, which we refer to as the Golden Era. And there was still quite a bit of that going on then. And then you have the Modern Era, which still goes back quite a ways. But yes, there were some bylaws created, you know, in the early on in the Modern Era, that stated that, you know, you could no longer pay the players, you know, under contract to come out and play. And, you know, that started to become really prevalent where that all stopped in the, you know, in the 60s and the 70s. The bylaws have also evolved and, you know, been updated at times. But, yeah, at this point and for decades, we just have not allowed any payment of any kind for strictly baseball services rendered.
And just to kind
doesn't
of
doesn't mean they don't throw an occasional hot dog or
right,
you know, steak somebody's
way. The one of the cool things is, like, the more I dug into the Delco League, I mean, there's the league itself, but I mean, I've seen people, like, on Facebook, historians that will post stuff. You know, you mentioned an alumni game, all-star game, Hall of Fame. Like, this is much more than just kind of a league that plays for 3 months. I mean, our half hour discussion to this point should prove that. But I mean, there is really a lot involved and a lot invested and a lot of people invested. When I say invested, I don't mean money. I mean time and love and passion really invested in this.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, for me, I say it all the time. Even when I'm running the grill during those championship games, I mean, it's a labor of love. It really is. Because, you know, the only money that's being exchanged in the Delco League is generally going out of somebody's pocket. You know, we're certainly not a money-making entity. But yeah, there is a lot to it. And I like to, I keep a lot going between the website and, you know, the events that we're having, what we're doing on the field, off the field, the fundraisers, stuff like that, because, you know, I believe it's important. And yeah, Jim Van Koski runs the Delaware County Sports Legends Museum out there in Radnor. I don't know if you've ever had a chance.
I have been there. It's awesome.
It's really awesome. And there, not only do you find, and if you've been there, you know this, just, you know, Delaware County Sports Legends, obviously there's an enormous part of that that's dedicated to the Delco League. Generally, we had a fundraiser just back in May, and we had it there at the museum. So people that attend, they get a chance to see some of those great displays. And again, I go back to the longevity of the league and the rich history really helps create a lot of that, though. I mean, the stories are there based on that history.
Nick DeCombe, this was so much fun. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. It was a lot of fun for me, too.
And that will do it for this week's episode. Want to thank Delco League President Nick DeCombe for being our guest this week. Now, if you like this show and you want to help us out, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on Twitter at @OneOnOnePod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.